All right, without further ado, we're quite honored to have with us today another fine couple from the church here, Fred and Esther. I didn't even look at his word. Oh, Lord. How many times do I tell these people, do some nice soft teachings on prosperity and stuff? Listen to this. Growing through suffering. Amen. Woo! Now, I know this one's going to be God because you didn't want to do that one, Fred.
All right. Back and forth, Bob. It was back and forth, yeah.
Brian, come here, please. Would you pray over him this morning, Brian?
I will.
All right. Because he got his message from you.
I like the font.
Growing through suffering. See, you're not the only one. All right.
Great.
And we know Fred's suffering.
And Esther. Lord, just bless Fred and Esther. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you, Lord, for them being a vital part of the body here, Lord God. And Lord, we just pray your anointing be with Fred and Esther, Lord, and be with them. And we thank you. We welcome your Holy Spirit here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Yes, my wife has a microphone, and she's up here for the first time. I was very aware this week, you know, because I know the enemy likes to come in when a couple, you know, are teaching, put division in there. So I was worried more about that than my teaching itself, I mean. But the Lord is faithful. You know, during the week, I did have to hold my tongue a couple times, I will say that. But everything is, the Lord is faithful. He's good. So I was looking at this, actually, you know, I was thinking about a song. Her songs, you know, how you drive to work and stuff. And there was the Mandisa song, you know, I'm an overcomer. It's kind of an old song.
I like it.
So I'm listening to it, and I'm like, yeah, we, you know, we go through stuff. I almost was going to play it, you know, but I said, you know. And then, you know, so I'm hearing this, like, we're overcomers, you know. Even though we're down, you know, we got to, you know, push through, you know, because God is with us with everything, you know. And I think sometimes we lose track of that when we're in the trials, you know, that, you know, we're thinking more of the trials or the problems than God is still in control of everything. You know, it's like getting that tunnel vision. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But I started out with Mark 4:16-19. The story of the sower of the seeds. And this is Jesus explaining it. You know, so I didn't really want to, because it's actually pretty long. I didn't want to read everything. But I'm going to start out where there's three sowers. No, there's actually four. You know that? There's four. Right. One is the seeds that fall on the path. You know, and that the bird comes and takes it away. You know, that represents the devil that takes it away before it even grows roots. You know, but I want to focus on the ones that fall on rocky ground and thorny. So it says, this is Jesus explaining it. It says, like seeds that fall in rocky places, it's people that hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no roots, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And it says, still others, like the seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but when worry and of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and desires for other things come in and choke the word out, making it unfruitful. So that's what I kind of, the ones on the thorny ground is what I'm pretty much going off of. Because, you know, why is it so effective? I mean, so necessary us to handle these trials or the worries of life. You know, because because like it says, it makes us unfruitful. You know, because there's always going to be some kind of stuff going on. I mean, Jesus says, in this life you'll have many troubles. You know, I mean, I think our, you know, as Christians, we tend to, when we're going through something, we tend to figure it out until, you know, and then we pray to God, help me do this, God, with my plan I figured out. You know, I mean, so, I mean, I tend to do that, like, all right, this is the way I'm going to do it. All right, Lord, help me do this. You know, instead of going to the Lord and saying, all right, how do I handle this? Or what do you want me to learn through this, I should say. You know, because my thinking is I'm going through this because the Lord allowed it. You know, for one thing, you know. I mean, that's what I truly come to understand because, like I said it many a times before, I don't think the devil could come against you unless God allowed it in the first place. You know, I mean, and that gets me through a lot of saying, you know, my tire blew, the devil. You know, I mean, it's, as Christians, either the devil's behind every little thing or we just, you know, just don't keep thinking, you know, just don't even acknowledge him at all. With, you know, yes, the devil's involved. He's always trying to tempt us and get us to do stuff. But he's not around every corner in our life because that's, I mean, I don't want to give him too much credit, you know, but, you know, this hike, say, I mean, just like a blown tire or something, you know, you wake up and running work, late for work, tire's flat. You know, either you can, you know, there's two ways you can handle it. I mean, either it's, you know, come low, sweet chariot type stuff, like, oh, Lord, you know, boo, or you can put on Mediza. You know, I'm an overcomer. I'm going to fix this tire, and I'm going to sing that song. Why fix it? Because the Lord is still with me. You know, don't know why I got to fix it early in the morning. I'm tired, running late, but, you know, I'm going to do it. And, you know, I'm not to the point where I say, thank you, Lord, for this trial, but I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to go through this. I'm not going to let it get me, you know, and I'm going to go, you know. So, I mean, that's just kind of a mindset, you know. But you got something to say, babe? Because I'm expecting you to take up a few minutes on this. No? All right.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. She's working her way up to it. Yeah.
Women are just more detailed.
They're more detailed? Okay, that's one way to put it, but yes. But, yes, either... You know, I guess I heard this actually. I was going to work again. I'm listening to, and it's Jill Briscoe was on. You know, I don't believe everything they, you know, everything they say. I kind of take the good and, you know, throw out stuff that I don't agree with. You know, but she did have a good saying. She said, she was talking about something else, but she got into trials. So now it caught my ear. I'm like, oh, that's what I think, you know, I'm going to tell you. And she says, there are two ways you're going to handle trials. Either you're going to get it bitter or you're going to get better. And I said, wow, that's a good saying because, yeah, either we're going to be angry, you know, even after you come out of it, you're going to be bitter about that trial, or you're going to be better in some way about it. You know, I think God wants us, because it's a growing process. God wants us, I mean, if my theory's right, you know, God knows what's happening here. There's a reason why you're going through it. He wants to get you stronger. He wants you to learn something. You know why? So you can grow fruitful. Right. You know, so he can, you know, use you in some way. I mean, we're getting stronger for a reason, you know. I mean, the song says, move me from glory to glory, Lord. You know, how is he going to do that? Oh, yeah, he can just give you, you know, Holy Spirit, and you can walk around with the glow on your head, you know, like they see in the pictures, but it don't work that way. You know, I think because it makes me think, you know. I remember when I first came to church, right? A mess I was, right? You know, and, you know, with I mean, I was, you know, just trying to get through the day type stuff. You know, no vision of what, you know, of the future. I was fine where I was at. You know, I had a house, a car, and, you know, that was it. You know, now all these years, and believe me, there was a lot of trials, a lot of times in the pastor's office, you know, that, you know, hey, now I could have been bitter, you know, and there was times I'm like, man, you know, come back and talk to Pastor Don again, what the heck, you know, but through the grace of God and the Spirit that he, you know, and I like to say it like this, like the prodigal son, when I finally come to my senses, you know, and what he did, what he came to his senses, went to the Father's house. You know, so when you finally come to your senses, you know, after initial, you know, anxiety or whatever, you know, you got to get before the Father and get some clarity. You know, and then after that, I'm like, all right, Pastor Don's right. You know, I'm gonna do this. Might not like it, but I'm going to do it. You know, and from that point and all the trials to this point, you know, we're a lot better off. You know, so, but you got something to say? Say it, baby. Just say it.
So, so this week we did have a few trials. So I was Psalms 38:8, and it says, "I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. I pray for them to be released." I was praying for a certain situation, and it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out. When I got the news, I was okay. I was very at peace. Fred and I had prayed about it. You know, a few people here at church had prayed about it with us. And Fred's words kept ministering to me was, you know what, if God has us do this, he's going to have us do it, but he's going to provide the finances for this. As soon as that happened, that we were going to walk through this a month ago, Bob said something that like kept radiating in my ear every single time I thought of this situation was, God is your provider. So we got the mail on Monday. Tuesday came. I wasn't feeling it no more. I was very down. I was very, very down. So I went to the Father, and he led me to the Psalms, and this is one of the Psalms that helped me. "But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and life up, lift up my head. To the Lord I cried out, and he answered me from this holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I awake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. The Lord delivered me." He did deliver me. He did bring me back to a better view of it. It is a financial thing. We do have to pay a large amount of money for a few months. And I'm happy. You know, I am happy because, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. We have come a long way, and God has always been there with us because we held on to him. Now, I could have stayed down where I couldn't hear him, I couldn't feel him, and I was mad, and I was like, when are you going to step in? But he did step in. He stepped in through his word. He stepped in through a lot of ways to show me that he's there. He's there every minute of the day.
Very good. All right, I got another scripture. It's 1 Peter 5:5-7. Right? It says, "In the same way, you who are young, submit to your elders." I threw that in for Brian, so he knew elder, you know. Right? But, yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh, I'm going to use that one. But, you know, because we do have to submit, you know, to people in authority. You know, even, I mean, the Bible even says submit to people that's your boss at work. He can not be a godly man, but he's your boss. You know, so, and that itself is a whole nother teaching, but we'll, but, all of you, clothe yourself in humility towards one another. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So we are to, you know, cast our cares onto the Lord. It used to say cast your cares onto the Lord, from the older version. And that's the version I had in my head. And I started searching around for the older version because, I mean, I'm just like that. But after I, you know, after I looked up anxieties, the meaning of it, it says a feeling of worry, nervousness, unease, typically about an event or something that's certain to, or something with an uncertain outcome. I mean, it's basically worry. You know, and what the Bible said about worry? You know, Jesus says, why worry about tomorrow? Today got enough troubles. I mean, but do we take, I mean, how true is that? Because worrying won't add nothing to our lives, but we tend to do it all the time. You know, either worrying about finances, you know, that's always a big worry. You know, could worry about kids, they're not serving. You know, and that's a whole nother, you know, worry. You know, and that really gets to your heart, you know, type worry. There's so many different, I can go on and on. I mean, I'm sure there's things in our heads right now that we worry about, that we talk about. But God says, put all your cares onto me. You know, go to him with all this. But how do we stop worrying? We can go to him with this and still worry about it. I mean, that's, I mean, the Bible says you can't plead God without faith. You know, Abraham was made righteous through his faith. You know, so we, and I'm, believe me, I'm a worrier sometimes, you know. I mean, a lot of times, you know, so, you know, and my wife, I'm sorry, but I'm going, and I'm like, you know, because me and Brian actually talked about it last Sunday, like, oh, man, you're going to have a hard week, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm thinking about that, you know, worrying about it, you know. And so I'm like, and I heard stories that, you know, when couples get up together and, you know, that the devil's it tries to get in there and cause some kind of division or arguing or something, you know. And, you know, marriage is already hard without, you know, that, you know. But anyway, you know, so I'm like, all right, I'm not going to let this happen. You know, I'm praying on it, this and that. I'm going to be aware. Uh-huh. You know, it says be aware of the devil schemes. Yeah. You know, so I'm like, all right. I'm like, oh, it's going good. You know, I'm like, all right, God, for another day, I'm laying my head out. Woo, yeah, you know. You know, sleeping, yeah. But I get up, and, you know, I get up at like 4 a.m, you know, and it's, you know, and after usually sleeping, it's like my, you know, my quiet time. You know, after sleeping, and I leave, you know, sometimes I'll go, because, you know, I'm leaving at 5 a.m. No need for her to be up that early and everything. So here I hear the stairs. You know, and I'm running late. I said, I got to go. I'm putting my shoes, you know, my socks and the stuff on. I'm running late because I'm looking at the clock. Oh, man, I'm 10 minutes, you know. I got to hit the road. Oh, here comes Esther. Yeah. You know. Like, oh, man, dude. Got time for this. I'm thinking to myself. So she could tell, I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm just being truthful. So I'm thinking, I was like, oh, what's wrong? You know, something wrong with her. You know, because for one thing, she's up. She's like, oh, I'm just having it. I know what it was. I know it's probably that stuff, you know, the enemy. So, you know, I'm praying, and I'm thinking, all right, we already kind of agreed that, you know, the Lord's going to do that. I mean, you know, so we, you know, so she's, you know, she, you know, she starts, you know, a little bit of crying. I'm like, oh. So we pray and stuff. And I tell her, you know, so on the way to work, you know, I call her. I said, I can't leave my wife like that. So I call her, we talk, you know, and I thought it was good, you know. I mean, it was a good talk. It's okay, yeah, babe, you know. I guess the enemy, you know, is messing with her. That, you know, so I'm like, oh, Lord, you know, help my wife, you know, give her faith and, you know, show her that you are with us, you know, that you are with us. You know, give us some kind of sign that only, you know, that we know, you know. Even though we know you're there, please reveal yourself. You know, so She calls me back. She's all happy. Hey, I called her. Well, she actually talked to some lady that we deal with at the business we clean for, and the lady was like, "You guys doing this good, that good?" You know, like lifted her up. Don't worry. Basically everything's good to go. And this and that. So, and then there was other things said. So now my wife, I said, I had to hang up the phone. Like, thank you, Lord. Because that's how faithful you are. And that was really nothing for the Lord to do. I mean, just to show that I'm working here. You don't even know what I'm working in this lady or working in these people over here. The devil got your mind thinking of something that's not even true because he's a liar. And if we keep on grabbing onto that, and none of us is immune to that, so we fall into stuff like that. But we got to be aware, like, how many times we fall into this thing, And it's just like the stuff I was reading. It's like I'm not a beacon of perfection. I'm a beacon of progress. Because I'm not perfect, but I'm better than what I was. I don't even know if I was better than I was yesterday, but I'm better than I was last week. All right, but I'm getting better. Why? Because I want to get better. And there's things that I need to do, but one thing at a time. I'm just a guy. I'm just a man. Lady, I'm just a man. I can only do so much at one time. You ladies can think of five things. I'm just like focus on one at a time, But yeah, so I wrote down just lower yourself, because we tend to bring God down to our level. It does say, in that scripture I just read in 1 Peter, it says, therefore, humble yourself, therefore, under God. We all say, God is with me. That's a scripture, because it does say God is with you. But actually, God is not with you. You're supposed to be with God. We tend to forget that. You got to take his lead. Not like, Lord, like I said, I made this plan, Lord. Come on, give me that little boost I need to get through. We shouldn't be like that. We should go for the Lord and try to get his thing. But a lot of things, we don't like what he tells us. We don't like he tells us, you need to go humble yourself to that person and say you're sorry. Or say, if I offended you in any way, I'm sorry. Because our street self or our worldly self says, no, I have done nothing wrong. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I've been down that road a few times, but I learned once you say it, the next time it gets easier to say it. Because there's something that breaks in you. Let's get serious. Something happens when you say, all right, I'm going to say I'm sorry. The Lord did nothing wrong, and he hung from a cross. And you can't even say sorry, when you think you've done nothing wrong. And it's funny. And there's another thing that comes to my mind while I'm thinking this. I remember when I was first coming to church. Another first time, I was in church a little while. And I remember this lady, I'll leave her unnamed. She's no longer with us here, but I'm not here to bash her. But it's just something that I learned in that process. And I heard her just ranting about somebody who talked about her. Somebody said something bad about her. I'm going to Pastor Don and this and that and this and that. And I'm like, dang, lady. I've been hearing you dog people out for 2 years now, thinking myself. You'll reap what you, and I was young, I was thinking, man, I've been reading the Bible. It says you reap what you sow. Even though I was young and probably didn't understand fully, but I'm thinking, how are we, and I had to look at myself, I'm mad when stuff happens to me, but am I doing that same thing to others? It does say, the Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Because, we don't like them doing unto us. But are we doing unto them? And then we get mad about it. What I'm saying is some of our trials are from our, you know, from our own sins and our own actions. And we want to say the devil's doing something to us. Well, we done walked down the path to get there. You know, so we do have to examine ourselves. You know, James said, you look in the mirror, and if you get what you see when you walk away, you know. I mean, I remember when the first book I ever opened in the Bible, it was James. You talk about a smack in the face, really, when you start reading it, you're like, what? You know, because I always thought, you know, I'm a wise guy. I don't skate it out all kinds of trouble. You know, when I was younger, you know. So I read about wisdom. Well, you had worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And that was a big check because all I knew was worldly wisdom. When I started reading about godly wisdom, I was really convicted. You know, people's like, James, what are you starting there for? You need to start in like John, Gospel of John or something. Well, that's how I was. Like, brother, just quit telling me the story. Just tell me what you need to tell me. You know? Like, if there's a problem, just tell me. Don't talk this whole paragraph to get to the problem. Just tell me the problem. You know? And, well, that's what God did. Here's your problem right here, buddy. You know? Smack, you know? Straighten up, fool, you know? You know? So, you know, that, I mean, and God knows how to talk to you. You know? And I always said, don't sugarcoat it, brother. Just tell me. You know? Either I'm going to like it or I'm not going to like it. But, you know, but the Lord is faithful. You know, he knew me when I was before. He chose me before I was, you know, loved me when I was just a sinner. You know, so you think he's going to leave you now when you're trying to do your best? He wasn't doing nothing back then for him, and he still brought you in. You know, you think he's going to leave you now? I mean, shoot. Look at how many things, you know, and I always used to think, how can them, you know, them Israelites, after done seeing the Red Sea parted, come through the desert and start grappling to the Lord? Do we do the same thing? You know, done seen all the stuff he brought us through, and we're, you know, we doubt and we worry and we have fear. You know, so yes, babe.
So I like this scripture because it actually falls right into what he's saying about us humbling ourselves before the mighty God and to ask him for direction. It says, I'm gonna read just a couple of parts in Psalms 5. It says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Then it goes down to 7. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house in reverence, and I will bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make straight way before me. I like that psalm because he's actually telling us, you know, first of all, he helps us to humble ourselves. It's him that makes us to bow down. Why? I think it's because I love him so much that I don't want to stay the same. You know, we've been here over 20 years. I'm so glad I'm not what I was 20 years ago. I'm so glad that my pastors hung with me and the elders hung with me in prayer. And just because my cry was change me, Lord. And it was through a lot of trials that I didn't like. But as I see now, he's teaching me. He's teaching me how to walk with great trusting and faith. And it's not easy. It really isn't easy. It's a challenging walk. I'm referring again to the song that I wanted to play, which was kind of like a headbanger song. But in that song, it tells you, you're walking through in it, and they're just trying to beat you down. They're trying to beat you down. And he's saying, you know, they're beating you down. And then it just talks about how he's lifting you up. He's making you stand up. I could hear, you know, people were like, roar, cheering me on. Come on, Esther, keep walking. I mean, it just puts when God is at work in your heart, how much joy. Yeah, you might have where I couldn't see him for a minute, but he brings joy when you open up that word, especially when you can't see it.
That's good, babe. That's good stuff. This is what I got to deal on a daily basis. No, but it's good because I see I see the Lord both times, and it's very rarely me and my wife is down together. You know, either she, you know, is down with something, and then I come with the word of encouragement or whatever, and I don't know how many times she has. And that's the word of encouragement I get. You know, like, you got to do this, man. You know, they didn't beat you down. Okay, man. You know. But no, but she does, you know, encourage me. And I'm like, wow, you know, Lord, I needed that. You know, thank you. You know, because it says it's better to walk with two, because if one falls, the other one can help them up.
That's right.
You know, and that's not just in marriage. That's in, you know, our relationship with one another. You know. So, I mean, yeah, because many times I call pastor a lot, you know. Hey, pastor. You know, what does this scripture mean? Because it's on my mind, you know. And I didn't call him this week. Usually I call him every week when I got a teaching, but he's been on vacation. And Sonny, you know, son, I didn't want to bother him on the beach, you know. I mean, you know. So, yeah, I'm sure they did. Only picture I got of him standing by a sign that says coffee. You know. But no, he deserves it, you know. But yeah, I'm so down because we went with them last time. I was kind of bummed that we couldn't go this time. So, but yeah. But all right, as moving on is so like I said, it's, you know, I think we handle a lot of things ourselves that we don't even know we're doing. We don't, because you know, we all have, you know, faith in the Lord, you know, to some extent. But I think, you know, I do this without even knowing that I'm doing it. You know, that because, you know, before the Lord, we was fixing our own lives before the Lord. You know, we're trying to walk through all these trials before the Lord, before we got saved. So I think we're doing the same things without even knowing we're doing it. You know, like I said, we're making a plan to get out of this trial or something, and then inviting the Lord in. You know, so we're bringing the Lord down to us, you know, instead of trying to be getting lifted up to his level so we can see really what's happening. You know, and because I wrote down Philippians 4:6. It says that do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You know, so, and I kind of stuck out. I mean, it's not just saying prayer and petition. You know, when you petition something, you're having a conversation. You know, it's not just, Lord, get me out of this situation, or this and that. All right, I got to go to work. See you later. You know, I mean, you're saying, Lord, you know, this is what I feel. This is what, you know, what's happening. Give me insight and, you know, am I going the right way? Am I doing the right thing? I mean, he wants to have a conversation with you, you know. And what easier person to have a conversation with than with Jesus, God, you know, because he already knows everything. He knows your heart. He knows about you. You don't have to hide nothing from him.
That's right.
You can say, Lord, do you know what I'm thinking? You know, I hate this person, you know, and you got me dealing with him. I mean, anything. You know, I mean, I'm just saying that's just, it could be anything. I'm just using that as an illustration, you know, but, you know, because I just say because a lot of it's interacting with people. We're going to interact with people. That's what we're called to do. You know, but how are we going to handle people that rub us the wrong way? I mean, that's the main thing with me sometimes. I mean, yeah, that's the main thing with me. I mean, I ain't going to say sometimes, but I'm like, this guy rubbed me the wrong way. You know, I still got to humble myself, not lash out. And, you know, the thing with us, as long as the guy stays away from me, I'm good. Well, he's not probably going to stay away from you because the Lord's going to bring you. I mean, you ever tried to do that in church? You know, with somebody, all right, I'm not going to see you. Sure enough, you'll be walking. Here comes that person right there. I mean, it's like, you can be like, I'm going to walk this way, and that person tried to walk that way. You know, I mean, so the Lord puts you back, and no, I'm not going to let you do that. You're going to face this. You're going to face each other because you're going to work it out. You know, if I got to put you there every day, you know, and somebody's going to, and, you know, that's, you know, like the world. Yeah, I'm going to close with this, I guess. You know, the world, like, is contradicted. You know, what the Lord would have you do and what the Lord, you're like, what the world would have you do. Because the world would say, you know, when you say, I humble myself, I'm going to say I'm sorry for offending you in some way or whatever. You know, that way you're feeling like, at the world standard, you got punked or you got, you know, you're low. And that person, if they're going to walk away like, yeah, see, I told you. You know, they're going to think they had done something wrong. You know, they got over on you in some way. But in actuality, you're the loser for feeling that way. And I'm the winner for humbling myself. So who do you want to serve? Either you're going to serve God in that capacity or you're going to serve the world. John says love nothing of this world, you know, but it love the things of God. You know, and it's like, and it was a good thing, I hope I say this right, you know, I was listening to a teaching not too long ago, and he said, you know, and they was going off John, and it said, the lady said, or the guy said, that the world will let you down every time. You know, when you trust and love things of this world, it will let you down every time. But when you love things of God, he will never let you down. You know, and I was like, wow, that's pretty good. You know, I like that. I don't know whatever else he said. I forgot. You know what? But I remember that. You know, and I was just like, that's good. Because how true is that? How many times have we been through stuff and we got disappointed? You know, because we was lusting after things of this world. You know, but I could say I didn't like the path the Lord took me down sometimes, but it was good. At the end, you know, and I'm going to walk it. I'm going to walk it out, and that's it. Don't know what God for me, you know, but what he gave me so far is good.
Amen.
You know, so what he got for me in the future, it's got to be more.
That's right.
You know, so that's all I got.
I have one.
All right, my wife's going to close with this.
And it's actually about trials, this scripture. I love it because this scripture God has had me hang on to for like a lot of years, so like about 8 years. So it's Psalms 18:31. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battles. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn.
Amen.
The feet of a deer, when he's flying, they go very, very fast. They're flying. Their feet are hoof feet. So when they're flying through the rocks, those hoof feet have to be able to keep him on steady ground. So when you're going through that trial and you're flying, God wants you to fly. He wants you to soar with him. But he's going to make your feet go as they need to go. You need to get the grip. Your foot has to get the grip, even though the rock might be made so that your feet can't hang on. But a hoof's feet, through all the trials, God will bring me through because of what he's training me to do.
Thank you.